Chapter 4. It was past midnight when Jarl joined them in the Cromwell's little hut. He was more than an hour late. Aline's foster mother was asleep in the bedroom they all shared, so Kylar and Aline and Uli were all sitting in the front room. Uli had fallen asleep against Kylar, but she jerked upright instantly, terrified, as Jarl came in. "What am I dragging this little girl into?" Kylar thought. But he just squeezed her, and when she got her bearings, she calmed down, embarrassed. "Sorry," Jarl said. "The Paleys are punishing the Warrens for the assassination attempt. I wanted to get back to check on some things, but they've sealed the bridges. No bribes enough today." Kylar could tell Jarl was avoiding details because Uli was in the room, but considering how bad things were in the Warrens before the assassination attempt, Kylar could barely imagine how they must be tonight. Kylar wondered how much worse it would have been if the God King had actually been killed. Violence begets violence, indeed. "Does this mean the job's cancelled?" he asked, so Aline and Uli wouldn't ask more about the Warrens. "It's on," Jarl said. He handed a purse to Aline. It looked suspiciously light. "I took the liberty of bribing the gate guards in advance. The price has already gone up, and I guarantee tomorrow it will go up again. You have the list of times when the guards we bribed are working this week?" Jarl opened a pack and took out a cream-colored tunic, trousers, and high black boots. "Memorized," Kylar said.
"Look," Aline said. "I know Kylar's used to doing jobs when he doesn't know why he's doing what he's doing, but I need to understand this. Why is someone paying 500 gunders for Kylar to pretend to die? That's a fortune."
"Not to a Caladoran duke." "Here's the best I've been able to put together," Jarl said. "The dukes in Calador aren't the same as our dukes because the nobility in Calador is always inferior to the Meisters. But the Meisters still need people to manage the peasants and so forth. So, Duke Vargen is rich, but he's had to fight for every scrap of power he has. He came to Sanaria hoping to advance himself, but the position he thought he would get, leading Sanaria's royal guard, was given to Lieutenant Hurin Gare, now Commander Gare, to pay him off for leading Sanaria's nobles into an ambush during the coup, the traitor," Kylar said. "Exactly. Commander Gare goes to the docks one morning a week with a few of his most trusted men to pick up Sakage bribe money and pretend to be patrolling. This morning he's going to see his rival, Duke Vargen, commit the murder of a minor Sanarian noble, Baron Kirov. Commander Gare will happily arrest the Duke. In a few days or weeks, the dead Baron Kirov will show up. Commander Gare will be disgraced for arresting a duke for no reason, and, most likely, Duke Vargen will take his job. A number of things could go wrong, which is why Kylar's only getting 500 gunders."
"It sounds awfully complicated," Aline said.
"Trust me," Jarl replied. "When it comes to Caladoran politics, this is simple. How's the Sakage going to turn this to their advantage?" Kylar asked. Jarl grinned.
"We tried to get hold of Baron Kirov, but apparently the Duke isn't too stupid. Kirov's already gone." "The Sakage would have kidnapped Baron Kirov? Why?" Aline asked.
Kylar said, "If the Sakage grabbed Kirov, they could blackmail Commander Gare. Commander Gare would know the moment Kirov showed up, he'd be doomed. So the Sakage would have owned him."
"You know," Aline said, "sometimes I try to imagine what this city would be like without the Sakage, and I can't. I want to get out of here, Kylar. Can I come with you tonight?"
"There's not enough space for an adult," Jarl answered for him. "Anyway, they'll be back by dawn. Uli, Kylar, you ready?"
Kylar nodded,
and grim-faced, Uli copied him. 2 hours later, they were at the docks, ready to split up. Uli would hide beneath the dock in a raft, camouflaged to look like a clump of driftwood. When Kylar fell in the water, she would extend a pole for him to grab so that he could surface out of sight. There would barely be room enough in the little raft for Uli to crouch and Kylar's head to emerge. After he emerged, the driftwood would eventually drift downstream a few hundred paces to another dock where they would emerge.
"What if it all goes wrong? I mean, really wrong?" Uli asked.
The night's cold had left Uli's cheeks red. It made her look even younger. "Then tell Eileen I'm sorry." Kylar brushed the front of his cream-colored tunic. His hands were trembling.
"Kylar, I'm scared."
"Uli," he said, looking into her big brown eyes. "I wanted to tell you. I mean, I wish..." He looked away. "I wish you wouldn't call me by my real name when we're on a job." He patted her head. She hated that. "How do I look?"
"Just like Baron Kirov. If I squint real hard."
That was for the head pat, he knew. "Have I ever told you you're a pain in the ass?" he asked her. She just grinned. In a few hours, the docks would be swarming with longshoremen and sailors, preparing their cargoes for the rising sun. For the moment, though, it was quiet, except for the lapping of waves. The docks' private night watch had been paid off, but the bigger fear was one of the groups of Kalidoran soldiers who might wander by, looking for blood. Mercifully, it seemed most of them were in the Warrens tonight.
"Well then, see you on the other side," he said, smirking.
It was the wrong thing to say. Uli's eyes filled with tears. "Go on," he said, more gently. "I'll be fine." She went, and when she was safely out of sight, his face began shimmering. Kylar's lean young face put on a second chin, a red beard sprouted in the Kalidoran fashion. His nose grew crooked, and his eyebrows became great, wide brushes. Now, he was Baron Kirov. He pulled out a hand mirror and checked himself. He scowled. The illusory nose shrank a little. He opened his mouth, smiled, scowled, and winked, seeing how the face moved. It wasn't good, but it would have to do. Uli would have helped him get the face right, but the less she knew about his little talents, the better. He started down the dock.
"Dear gods!" Duke Tensorvargen said as he approached. "Is that you?"
The Duke was sweaty and pasty pale, even in the light of the torches on the end of the dock.
"Duke Vargen, I got your message," Kylar said loudly, extending his hand and clasping the Duke's wrist.
He lowered his voice. "You'll be fine. Just do everything like we planned."
"Baron Kirov, thank you,"
the Duke said, a bit dramatically. He lowered his voice again.
"So you're the player?"
"Yes. Let's try not to put me out of work."
"I've never killed anyone before."
"Let's make sure tonight isn't your first," Kylar said.
He looked at the jeweled dagger tucked into the Duke's belt. It was an heirloom in the Duke's family, and its inexplicable loss would be part of the evidence that the Duke really had killed Baron Kirov.
"If you do this, you'll be going to prison, and not a nice one. We can call it off."
Kylar waved his hands around as he talked, the way the real Baron Kirov did when he was nervous.
"No, no!"
The Duke sounded like he was trying to convince himself.
"Have you ever done this before?"
"Set up someone by pretending to be someone else? Sure. Pretended to get killed? Not much."
"Don't worry," the Duke said.
Tensor's eyes flicked past Kylar, and his voice went tight with fear.
"They're here?"
Kylar jerked away from the Duke, as if startled.
"Is that a threat?"
he barked. It was only a fair imitation of the Baron's voice, but blood covers a multitude of acting sins. The Duke grabbed his arm.
You'll do as I tell you! Or what? The God King will hear about this?
They definitely had the guard's attention now.
You'll say nothing!
Kylar shook his arm free.
You aren't smart enough to take the throne, Duke Vargon. You're a coward and...
He dropped his voice.
One stab. The blood bladder is right over my heart. I'll do everything else.
He contorted Baron Kirov's face into a sneer and turned away. The Duke grabbed Kylar's arm and yanked him back. With a savage motion, Vargon rammed the dagger not into the sheep's bladder of blood, but into Kylar's stomach. He stabbed once, twice, then again and again. Staggering backward, Kylar looked down. His cream-colored silk tunic was dripping red-black blood. Tensor's hands were gory, and flecks of red dotted the blue of his cloak.
What are you doing?
Kylar choked out, barely hearing the whistle blowing at the far end of the dock. He swayed, grabbing at the end of the railing to hold himself up. Sweating profusely, his black hair hanging in lank ropes, Tensor ignored him. Every trace of the hesitant, bumbling noble he'd been only a minute before had disappeared. He grabbed a fistful of Kylar's hair. For him, it was a lucky grab. An inch forward, and he would have destroyed the illusory face Kylar wore. As footsteps began pounding down the dock, Duke Vargon let Kylar drop to his knees. Through eyes dimming with pain, Kylar saw Commander Gare charging down the dock with his sword drawn and two guards at his heel. Duke Vargon dragged the dagger across Kylar's throat, sending blood spurting. Then, with as much emotion as a woodcutter burying his axe in a stump for the next time he's going to split wood, Duke Vargon jammed his dagger into Kylar's shoulder.
Stop! Stop now or die! Commander Gare roared.
Duke Vargon propped a calfskin boot on Kylar's shoulder and smiled. With a shove, he propelled Kylar off the dock and into the river. The water was so cold, Kylar went numb. Or maybe that was from the blood loss. He'd inhaled before he hit the water, but one lung wasn't cooperating. In moments, air bubbled out of his mouth, and, disconcertingly, his throat. Then there was agony as he breathed the thick, dirty water of the plith. He thrashed weakly, but only for a moment. Then the calm descended. His aching body was only a distant pulse. Something jabbed his body, and he tried to grab for it instinctively. He was supposed to grab. There was something he was supposed to remember about a catchpole. But if his hand even moved, he couldn't tell. The world didn't go black, didn't fade into darkness. His vision went white, his brain starving as blood poured from his neck. Something jabbed him again. He wished it would go away. The water was warm, a perfect, peaceful cloud. Duke Tensor Vargon tore his eyes away from the hungry river and lifted his hands. He turned slowly and said,
I'm unarmed. I surrender.
He smiled as if he couldn't help it.
And a good evening to you, Commander.